This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to another edition of Issues of the Environment. Back on July 8th, Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed into law the first PFAS-related measures other than funding for emergency response and cleanup. These measures require, among other things, anytime a fire department uses firefighting foam that contains PFAS, that the state be notified and the foam can be disposed of so these forever chemicals don't seep into our drinking water. We were curious as to what the implications of this change might be and what the future may hold for firefighters and the tools they use to protect us. On the other end of the WEMU phone line today is the chief of the Wixom Fire Department. Chief Jeff Roberts also serves as president of the Michigan Fire Chiefs Association. And thank you so much for the time today.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am great. And I do, before we get into new regulation, want to step back for a moment, because our awareness as a community and as a people of PFAS is relatively new. Firefighters have been using the PFOS and PFAS foams for a long time in training and in professional community service. When did you become aware there was a health and environmental risk associated with these materials?
I believe it became more prevalent around 2015 that these, as dubbed now, forever chemicals are becoming more problematic. I think if you recall, PFAS or PFAS chemicals are something that has taken the place, if you will, of the Teflon-type product.
Right.
And we have only recently started to understand how these forever chemicals are influencing the fire service, the drinking water, and potentially cancer-causing properties.
Firefighters have been using these foam products for decades. I've even read that some departments were using the foams to wash fire trucks and clean fire station floors. So you put this all together, and your firefighting team becomes more high risk for the health ramifications that are associated with PFAS exposure. Has there been any PFAS-related illnesses verified in Michigan or at your Wixom department that you're aware of?
We have not received or had any specific related concerns here in the city of Wixom. As far as in the state, there are several members of the firefighting community that have been diagnosed with a cancer that can be traced back to exposure to fires or events surrounding fires. Whether it's been directly tied to PFAS or PFOS at this point in time, it's too soon to tell.
Well, among the health issues that can be associated with exposure is increased risks of kidney and testicular cancer, suppression of the body's immune system response, and in women it can cause pregnancy complications and then low birth weights for newborns. How concerned are you that there were so many years of exposure and our understanding is really at the tip of the iceberg?
Well, for the Michigan Association of Fire Chiefs and the fire service in general, it's an extremely challenging and difficult time because we keep inventing or coming up with new products that are supposed to be better for the environment and protect our firefighters and first responders, and yet we find out years later that they were actually worse off or more significant in nature compared to the ones they replaced.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. When we're talking PFAS and firefighting with the president of the Michigan Fire Chiefs Association, Jeff Roberts is also chief of the Wixom Fire Department. So with these new regulations in place, do we once again see a change in the kind of foams that will be used moving forward?
Yeah, for the most part, the majority of the manufacturers out there are bringing something to market that they're considering more of a green foam, meaning it's environmentally friendly. Of course, most of the PFAS and PFOS foams were considered somewhat green when they came to market as well. So I think we still have to kind of wait and see, if you will.
Right. As you've mentioned, that a lot of the newer foams that have come out still contain some level of those PFOS and PFAS. And in changing the chemicals, do you find that they are as effective in helping put out fires, both for in training and in real-world practice?
The biggest complaint that I've seen is that they think or believe that you just have to use more of the product. Let me tell you, this stuff isn't cheap by any sense of the imagination. You're looking at $25 to $3,000 per 55-gallon drum.
That is hugely expensive. So if you're going to continue to use more, already strained firefighting budgets become even more at a premium.
Absolutely.
Like you said, there's going to be new products out on the market that we keep being told are green, and there's a lot of greenwashing that goes on. Do we know of any firefighting foam that is 100% PFAS-free at this point?
Unfortunately, we don't know that. I think the challenge has become, and I'm no chemist, there is a chain of chemicals linked together, and I think you're going to find that in time with the data, it's going to be determined that any one of these dubbed forever chemicals are going to be a challenge to our environment and potential health risks.
And as we talk about health risks, I'm always concerned about the safety of firefighters. If the budgets don't support using more and more of the foam that is less effective than what we have, is a situation where perhaps firefighters' lives are more at risk because they don't have what we consider to be the proper tools. Am I right?
That's correct. You're absolutely right.
Once again, this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Michigan Fire Association Chiefs Association President Jeff Roberts. These new state regulations on firefighting foam require any agency that uses it report it to the state within 48 hours. The idea being there would be enough time with quick reporting to get it cleaned up before it contaminates water. Are there already procedures in place to have our fire departments do some sort of remedial cleanup of the foams at the site of a fire while still on scene?
Typically, it's an afterthought. There isn't much time, if you will, to pre-plan or prepare for the use of it at any given incident. The reason we no longer will use it in training is because we know the impact on the environment and the drinking water and the potential health risks. So today, we don't use it any longer. But if it's all you have available and it's more effective and less costly, if you will, than the newer stuff, and you have no means of replacing what you currently have,
right,
it's still allowed to use in an event of a airplane crash or some type of tanker-related fire.
So then we come to the new reporting process of reporting within 48 hours. It seems to me 48 hours is a lot of time for this foam to potentially get into the ground, into the groundwater, run off under storm drains and water bodies. How do you feel about that 48-hour reporting process?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, I think, Dave. If we consider the fact that we have water retention basins and we have stormwater collection points, hopefully the product will be kept in that area or those areas in a timely manner. We can get in there with some type of environmental cleanup before those catch basins and storm drains fill with rainwater and then dilute it and push it even further downstream.
So as you look at the more broad and overall impact of the new regulations put forth by the state of Michigan, by and large, are the fire chiefs within the association on board?
I think we're on board with the cleanup. We're on board with the not use during training events. I think part of the challenge in some of the legislation, it's actually now in writing that firefighters will have to be trained in its use. And I think what's problematic at times with that is there's departments that will never have a need to be trained in the use of foam of this nature because their job responsibilities won't involve it.
So now you're talking about unintended and inexplicable expense.
Yes, exactly. Today, by my OSHA standards, all firefighters with their responsibilities and duties. So if, in fact, they worked at an airport where Class B foam was used or they had municipal coverage of a expressway or an area in which tankers have traveled regularly, they've already been trained. They already have the experience or knowledge. The challenge becomes if we remove this product from availability and it no longer is used in firefighting services in 4, 5, 10 years, we still have legislation on the books that says firefighters will still have to be trained in its use.
As part of passage of these measures, was there also a funding mechanism by which to support that training?
At this time, currently, there isn't.
I'm sure that went over well with the Fire Chiefs Association.
Absolutely. Always a challenge to have unfunded mandate. Having said that, though, there is the fireworks fund that allows training to be paid for through that effort. So we are working on ways to get that knowledge once it's designed so that we know specifically what criteria that has to be, our firefighters have to be educated at.
I thank you for the time today, but more importantly, I thank you and your associates for all the work you do in keeping us safe in the community.
Thank you, sir.
That is Wixom Fire Chief Jeff Roberts. Chief Roberts is also president of the Michigan Fire Chiefs Association. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it each Wednesday. For more information on today's topic and to access the Issues of the Environment archive, all you have to do is visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station. It's 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.